there's a little sermon outline if you want to fill it in. Is that the idea is there is for you to fill it in as you listen, and then you have it with you. You have it with you. You can ponder it again this week, reread the scripture. I'm going to use a story or two from Acts before we move toward Pentecost, which is at May 15, that great celebration when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But what I love about this, if you have your Bibles open, at the end of Acts 2, that's the Pentecost story, and we'll go back to there on May 15. But at the end of it, the book of Acts gives the description. We go to this passage many, many times. It is the description of a healthy a church in the first century and in the 21st century. The people committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, the breaking of bread, and to fellowship. They opened their homes, hospitality. They ministered to each other. They committed themselves to the Word of God, and they committed themselves to prayer. What I really like in the book of Acts is, and then the gospel there, that community is formed, the church. And that's the church that's going to go into all the world when the Holy Spirit comes. Well, and by Acts 3, he has already come, of course. And that's and there they go. But what I like in Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts all the way through, it's not a bunch of theory out there. Well, this is what it's not instruction in a classroom. Nothing wrong with that. But it's story after story after story. How the Lord brought people in, used his people, brought people in, severely disciplined. The King Herod mocks God and he's toast. And on, all the way through the book of Acts. And that story continues, and we're part of it as well. In Acts chapter 3, here's the story. And the story, it's interesting that when Acts 3 and 4, really one story. I'm not going to take time this morning. But in Acts 3, Peter and John go into the temple. There's a beggar out there begging, help, help. And Peter goes up to him and John, and we don't have any gold and silver. But what we have, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And then that begs the question. People are praising God, but they're saying, what power, what authority? Peter is actually speaking here. He said, you may wonder what power and authority we have to do this. And he answers in chapter 3, it ain't us. It isn't us, folks. It is Jesus Christ whom you crucified and turned over Pontius Pilate, who wanted to set him free, but God raised him from the dead. Now the gospel is being preached to you. Repent and believe the good news. So that's in chapter 3, the people. And many people came to faith. And then you get chapter 4, where again Peter's going to be asked, what name? This now it's going to be asked of him and to John. What name and by what authority are you doing what you did? Basically, raising the lame beggar. But now they were in jail all night. It's now where they're huge critics, the Jewish leaders. And Peter and John are going to give their answer, and Peter's going to be the spokesman. And the text is going to be 4 verse 12. I read it to you, and then I'm just going to read the first 14 verses of that chapter. Here's the text. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And again, I didn't tell the story earlier because I knew I was going to read this passage. But this, to me, is fascinating. And I hope you, Mary Hebrexi, and the Mundorf family. It was just amazing to me. I went to see Mark on Friday afternoon, Mary's husband, in the Alzheimer's unit at the Veterans Hospital. He wasn't in very good shape. He was laying there on the bed. I covered him up a little bit with the blanket he had, and chatted with him. And maybe he was just tired, but he was confused. And I sat there for a while, and I said, Mark, I'm going to read a verse of scripture that I'm going to read Sunday morning in church. And I started to read. I quoted it. I didn't have my Bible with me. I just quoted it because I knew what I was going to do. And I said, Mark, salvation is found, and he finished the verse. In no one else except Jesus, he says. I didn't tell him that he missed under heaven. I said to him, I leave your room here, and head back home with great joy in my heart, Mark, because the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, is in your heart. It's good. Verse 1, the priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. You can throw the spokesman in jail. Later in this chapter, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but they're going to beat them, they're going to whip them. You can do that. You're not going to stop the Holy Spirit from bringing people to saving knowledge of Jesus. The next day, the rulers, elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas and John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power and what name do you do this? Because remember, they're critics, so I think they said it in that way. What are you doing? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called on account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. He is. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. And that's where we're going to stop. Now, here's the question I have up on the screen there. And the answer, and I was going to have you look for the answer as I read, but the answer to that question, what produces courageous Christians? Certainly, Peter and John were courageous. Oh, don't jump there quite yet. There it was. Peter and John, tremendous courage, right? And, of course, it's the Holy Spirit. But what produces courageous Christians? And now you can go to it. Look what it says there. Go ahead, brothers, or sister and brother. People who have been with Jesus. That is an amazing statement of the critics who told Peter and John, you keep quiet from now on. And later in the chapter, and we'll pick up this story, hopefully, as we go along, be moving toward Pentecost. But it's an amazing recognition. These unschooled, ordinary men, fishermen, if you will, Peter and John, they took note that they have been with Jesus. I share with you, congregation, my singular purpose as your pastor for many years now, preacher of the word and sacraments. My desire for all of you is that people will know you as people who have been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus in worship. Tomorrow, you go to handle money, teach classes, take exams, relate to neighbors, sell, buy, whatever God has called you to do. It's my prayer that because of the worship of his name, Sunday after Sunday, people will know that you have been with Jesus. Why is it they took note that you, ordinary, unschooled maybe, or maybe very schooled, why do you raise your kids the way you do? Why do you speak the way you do? Why do you handle work the way you do? Why do you handle money the way you do? Why? And they'll take note that you have been with Jesus. That is my prayer. Now, just chat a little while. Just put the screen blank there, Kathy, or if you will. And let me talk about this story. The question is asked, by what power and what authority did you do this? And Peter answers, and John as well, that the raising of this lame man was done not by their power, but by the power of God. That's how John and Peter responded. It is not us, it's him. It's the power of God. And that and the authorities don't know what to do with it, because these guys, obviously, and Peter explains to them, it is because of the cross and resurrection that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and he's commissioned us to call the people to repentance and faith, calling you to repentance and faith. And what we see happening here in Jerusalem, 5,000 people came to faith, 3,000 on Pentecost Sunday, here 5,000, Luke records it. All of this is taking place because there is a power. The power of Jesus Christ in people are changing their lives. And Peter's answer to the angry critics in chapter 4 is the same answer that he gives to the receptive crowd in chapter 3. It's not us. It is who Jesus Christ is. And then we come back to their salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. Now I want to go to, now you can pick this up again. I'm going to jump from here. Is this matter of, well, salvation is found in no one else, and we have salvation in Christ. Hallelujah, praise God. Is that just church people keep telling themselves that Sunday after Sunday, or does it make a difference in our world today? And here I'm going to make a blanket statement. So here we go. I want you to hear a blanket statement. The world goes from bad to worse simply because men and women do not know God. We do. That's why when we go into this society this week, we go in as people who know God. That's what Jesus prayed. This John 17 is this great prayer of Jesus, righteous Father, though the world does not know you. That's why the world goes from bad to worse. I know you, and they know that you have sent me. The world goes from bad to worse. And I think that's profoundly true. Not because human beings are any worse than they were 2,000 years ago. We'll see that in a few moments. Not because that's any worse, but because the world situation is just, it's wide open for people to go from bad to worse. Let me just use an illustration, and you can see how that goes. When I grew up on this huge ranch in Montana, I'm not saying, here's my illustration. Pornography was just as much a temptation for me as it is for people today. But the opportunity was not so great for me, so to speak. Lived 18 miles from Bozeman, Montana, drove those big tractors, chased cattle. But today, two clicks of the mouse, if you will, and you can be there. The world goes from bad to worse. Technology is a wonderful gift, but it certainly enhances the world going from bad to worse. Now, what can be done about the world going? Here's from our church sign of last week. Next one, Kathy, there. Oh, you got it there. Sorry. What's the matter with me? From bad to worse. We put this up on the sign last week. I don't know. People go by the street. I really try to do it. Not just put little cute little sayings out there. Nothing wrong with that. But put signs that when people go by, I wonder what they mean by that. So here was what was on last week on one of the sides of the sign. You can read the one today, too, if you want one that's up there. Christianity never starts with us. It always starts with God. And here I submit to you. Like Peter and John, there is salvation in no one else, Jesus Christ. Whatever issue we are facing in society or you're facing in your life, the question from Christianity begins with, who is God and what does he say? Not how do I feel? Not, well, and I'm on the bottom there. Unbelievers never start there. Never. And that makes all the difference. Let me flesh this out a little bit. I'm going to make some political statements, and I don't want you to read them wrongly, whatever that means. We have been now for 7 years under the Hope and Change umbrella. All our hope and change communicated in 2007 and then beginning in 2008, I submit to you whatever changes ensued, it has not healed our nation. It has not worked out very well. Many people would say it has gotten much worse. And now, because so many are angry, they're angry at their own life, they're angry at Washington, they're angry at the president, they're angry at, now many people are lining up under Make America Great Again. And you can see the hope in that. Let's make America great again. The hope and change thing hasn't worked. Let's make America great again. And I want to just submit to you in the light of Peter's speech and all the scriptures that when we start from human beings, men and women, and I'm not mocking our president for the last 8 years, and I'm not endorsing anybody for the future. It's not my right and not my calling. But I understand. I want you to understand that when we start with human beings, men and women, their rights, their nature, we will never find solutions to the mess our country and world is in. You won't find solutions if you don't know Christ and of the mess that you may be in and your family. It starts because the world is wrong in its understanding of the condition of men and women. The condition that we started with our service at the beginning. Lord, we confess our sins to you. Cleanse us, wash us. Human beings don't start there. The world does not start there. Modern people have such a high opinion of themselves. They think they're good. They're much better than the generations before. They're confident. They're proud. And in their pride, they do not recognize the truth about Jesus Christ. Now, Make America Great Again is the slogan that, I don't know if it's going to carry the day and so forth. And again, I'm not mocking it. But I can tell you with certainty that Make America Great Again will end up no more successful than Hope and Change unless hearts are changed. And that's why you've heard it from my mouth 100 times, 1,000 times, the hope for America.